Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 206 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her dating. Oh man, have we got a good one for you today. Before we begin, just know that this episode, which you're going to love, is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins. The delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your first official reminder to click on to iTunes after this episode. Rate and review the show because we love to hear from you. Yep, your feedback means that much to us. So here's your first reminder. Now it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Oh my gosh, try dating today. Nightmare. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So today's episode is all about how in the heck do you do this dating thing, especially today. So we have Dr. Nancy Lee, who wrote a book called Don't Sleep With Him Yet, A Badass Guide to Dating in 10 Empowering Steps. Now, Dr. Lee is a clinical psychologist in private practice in Beverly Hills, California. She's a leading practitioner of cognitive behavior therapy and specializes in a wide range of behavioral health issues. And all we can say is, thank heavens she's talking about dating, and she wrote this book. Dr. Lee, welcome to the Her podcast.
Hello, Dr. Pam. Thank you so much for having me today. I get to talk about my favorite topic, dating.
I think it's everyone's favorite topic. I think they're just doing the Sex and the City thing out there and scratching their little heads and saying, say what? So, you know, there's this whole thing going on out there. All I can say is, honey, I'm just so glad I grew up when I did. It was far less complicated. Oh, my gosh. I'm just like blown away by swiping right and swiping left and all of these things. But, you know, it's really interesting. So, Dr. Lee, I know that our mostly female audience is sitting there just saying, look, we have a question on the tip of our little tongues. As we're sitting here swiping right and left and trying to figure out which way is up, the question is, well, why aren't any of the guys you meet interested in serious relationships? What's up with that?
It's a great question. You're meeting the wrong guys. More specifically, you may actually be choosing the wrong guys. So we women tend to go for these very charming bad boys with the ability to sell themselves to you. But what they are, they're not about a relationship. That's so true. So what happens is they chase you really hard at the beginning. But once you're caught, the meter starts ticking towards the end of the relationship. So what women have to do is really learn how to weed out the good guys that are, in fact, looking for committed relationships, if that's what you want. Remember, not all women want not all women necessarily want commitment. Most women do, but remember, this is 2019, not all women are looking for husbands. So you really have to differentiate what your goals are, what you want. Look inside. It's not always about the men. It might be about your choices.
Okay, so then you sit back and you keep saying, why do I keep choosing losers? You know, like, it's hard, you know? So, you know, you say to yourself, why am I constantly repeating the same behavior on my part? Why are you choosing the wrong person? What kind of words of advice do you have?
Stop being a people pleaser. Sometimes you begin to date a guy and your intuition tells you, this isn't right, but you continue the relationship maybe out of people pleasing or self-doubt is huge. We women really tend to doubt our own judgment. Men don't do that, by the way. If they feel it's not right, gone, done, finished, we just self-analyze this stuff to death. So if you're dating somebody that you're really not into, right at the beginning, dump the dude. Not worth it.
Okay. All right. Dump the dude. You know, obviously there's a whole psychology behind all of this. Why do you keep choosing people who are funky, and why is this all so hard? Well, okay, let's just say that you now have a new guy in your life and you think, in your perception, he's wonderful. Now the big question, should you sleep with him now or wait?
Definitely wait. For so many reasons.
Okay, here we go. We want to hear the laundry list here.
Okay, laundry. Do we have an hour? So many different reasons.
I knew it was going to get ugly.
If you sleep with a guy right away, you're taking away a huge inbred incentive for him to get to know you better. So really, the only intercourse that has a chance is a physical intercourse. You're going to miss out on so many communications, talking, good times that can lead up to sleeping with the guy. So that's reason number one. Number two, a lot of the men that I see in therapy confide in me that when they sleep with a new woman that they've just begun dating, the sex is somehow lacking. Somehow. It's actually not really fair because on the one hand, the men may be pushing for sex, but then they come to me in therapy and complain about it. So I think that's a really powerful tip for women to understand. Guys are with us, but there you go. So they may be, like I said, they may be pushing for sex, but then complain that, hey, the sex wasn't good. But they're usually the only complaints I get like that are right at the beginning of a dating partnership. I don't hear those complaints after a waiting period when two people have been together for a while and the sex is slower paced. I rarely get those complaints.
Okay, so tell us then how you look at the whole issue of hookup, right? So, you know, at a very cold level, you say, okay, it's just a hookup. It's a physical thing, you know, got it out of your system, move on. But then why do you find yourself as a woman checking your phone for a text from him?
So what happens with so many women, and I see this especially with younger women in my practice, is they're like, okay, ooh, that's a really cute guy. They see at a party. So the guy pushes for sex. They go along with it thinking it's just a hookup, right? I'm not going to get attached. The next day, they find that they cannot stop checking for a text from the guy that just somehow never comes. So despite what they tell themselves, Dr. Pam, their brains don't work that way. We women, our brains are really set for attachment. So that's part of the problem with casual hookups.
Huh. Okay. So, I mean, it's got to be a nightmare. You know, it's just, how do you live in this world where there's hookups, weird relationships? You don't know what kind of history someone's coming in with in terms of relationships and what they really want. So, you know, how do you decide whether to move in or not with him if you finally get to a place where you're with a guy where it seems to be pretty promising? Now, let's look at that whole issue of costs and benefits for moving in or not.
Okay, so another really great question. So women and men decide very differently. First of all, know that a lot of guys treat moving in with a woman as a test drive. So, hey, I want to see if this works before a commitment. Women tend to view moving in with a guy as a step before engagement or marriage. So if you as a woman are deciding whether to move in, something that's really, really important is you want to know that both of you, not just you, but your partner as well, are highly invested in the relationship, in that you're highly invested in the success of the relationship, and you are planning to be together. You're planning an engagement or a marriage in the foreseeable future, or at the very least, you're discussing a long-term future together. Otherwise, if you see that your partner is doubting you or he's ambivalent, absolutely don't. You don't remember. We as women need to be really authentic. We don't want to doubt what we want, and we don't want to doubt our feelings. If your instincts are telling you this might blow up in my face, then absolutely don't. Otherwise, if you've got a great guy, great relationship, you're both talking future, go for it.
Huh. All right. Now, so we're still talking about this whole dating thing. We've kind of looked a little bit at, you know, the choice of guys and whether or not to sleep with him, whether or not to move in with him, whether or not to dump him. You know, how do you deal with this? Now we get to the hairy part. Online dating. So how can you increase your odds of actually matching up with someone instead of, you know, scary people who give you somebody else's picture that they put up on Match.com and then you meet them and you're like, you know, nightmare. Where'd this guy come from? So how do you actually ramp up your odds of meeting someone who might work?
That's such a good question, and it comes up all the time in therapy. So you want to be really authentic about who you are. At the same time, you want to separate yourself from the rest of the pack. So look, everybody tends to enjoy traveling and eating out and movies. That's really general. If you just emphasize those things, you're not going to narrow your choices down. If you say something like, and now I'm thinking about a really old Seinfeld episode, but if you say something like, hey, I like to eat the top of muffins, sure, you're going to rule out a lot of guys out there. On the other side of things, some really quirky guys with a good sense of humor who get that and who would like that about you would be attracted. Women also have a tendency, what online dating has done is women tend to look for, okay, the perfect on paper partner. Guess what, ladies? He doesn't exist. This is a little bit tougher, but try to look for attributes like kindness that come out, things that really connect with you, things that make you smile. And then from then on, I mean, honestly, online dating is a bit like a lottery. You're not gonna pick that winning ticket the first try. Unfortunately, you've gotta persist through some really bad WTF dates to find somebody that you connect with really well.
But you know, I've talked to so many people who've had just rotten experiences, and they found it very disheartening. How can you help give them motivation to kind of hang in there? Something realistic
I think something that's helpful is taking a break. So then when you do get really discouraged from online dating and you've gotten a string of those, like you describe, Pam, these really horrific dates, just take a break from it for a while, because otherwise you're going to be going into it with a pretty defeatist attitude. So take a break, come back fresh. I think it's also helpful to know that online dating is really, in this day and age, the second most common way that partners meet one another.
So wait a minute, say that again. Are you saying it's the second most common way to meet someone?
According to statistics, surveys
across the nation.
Yes.
That's just
really
crazy. And obviously, I guess number one is just sort of you meet someone person to person.
Well, through friends is the first most common way. And that's
so it's through friends, then it's online dating. That's crazy. And where is this, you know, kind of random thing where friends weren't involved, family wasn't involved, you know, and it turns out to be just some kind of random thing. You went to a museum and the guy you sat next to and that kind of thing. What is that, like number 10 now?
You know? Probably, but I love those stories. There's a lot of those stories in my book, by the way. It's where serendipity comes in. Yeah, you're on a plane. You missed the earlier flight. You weren't supposed. One of my patients met her fiance that way. She was so upset about missing her flight and was yelling at the counter. And then, okay, fine. She finally resigned herself to the second flight. She met her fiance on the other flight. I mean, exactly. There are these really just random ways that people meet also, which, by the way, are my favorite stories, but they're much less common than meeting through friends and meeting online. That said, as a woman, put yourself out there. There's a line from Cabaret, what good is sitting alone in your room? If you don't get out, do stuff, find things, just be yourself, do things you love. You're much more bound to have one of those random meetings with a guy.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm still blown away. I mean, family and friends and then online. So that's the world we live in today. You know,
exactly.
And I usually tell people to work their networking system. Right. So if you have friends and family and whomever, you know, put the word out. I mean, don't be ridiculous about it, but, you know, just say, hey, you know, if you run into someone you think might be a good match, I mean, it could work. Right. Don't be shy about that. I think a lot of women are and they don't really push it enough, or on the other extreme, they push it way too much. It's like enough already.
Exactly.
Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And that's in my book too. Just you want to be realistic about things. Women used to feel that, oh, there's a stigma, or I'll appear desperate if I ask my friend, if he knows anybody to set me up with. But no, like everybody knows, people are really busy these days. Women are workaholics. They're busy in their lives. They don't necessarily have time to do things where, you know, to go to, say, social events. So it's an excellent way to meet people. And on the other end of things, yeah, don't be ridiculous about it. So you walk into a room and the first thing you do is ask 10 people to set you up.
I know, really, seriously, it's like, enough. Okay, just button it up. You know, we got the point, and there it is. All right, here's something that really strikes home, I know, deeply to a lot of people, right? So should you really stay with someone if you're not completely happy, just to avoid being alone? Uh-oh, now we're going to the alone place. And as you and I both know the statistics, the loneliest demographics on the planet are people who are much older, and believe it or not, millennials and the younger people. They're lonely. They're just not getting the kind of relationship. So what happens so often, especially to a woman, is she'll settle, you know, for whatever is going on rather than be alone. So let's talk to the alone place.
Okay, and I'm really glad you asked that, because loneliness and disconnection is almost epidemic in our society today. What I tell women in general is look to a partner to enhance your life, not define your life. So if you're really, really unhappy in a relationship, that relationship is probably bringing you down, and you would be better off, quote unquote, alone. Now, alone doesn't have to be synonymous with lonely, because you want to find yourself too. You want to be able to like yourself and to feel good about yourself outside of a relationship also. That said, look, a really great relationship is going to bring us up. It's going to be fun. It's we have somebody to travel with, maybe even share a bank account with. But once again, if you're so unhappy that the relationship is bringing you down, hey, it's much better to be on your own. I prefer that term to alone, because alone tends to be, we think about loneliness.
I see. So a lot of people just go to that. They kind of default to that place in a big way. Your book really touches on so many aspects of the whole issue of dating in general. It's like the full spectrum. I love it because it's sort of like dial it up. So you can ask almost any question. Like, for instance, what kind of guy uses each of the five most popular dating apps? Is there like almost a profile for these guys?
I simplify it from my own research and from all of the discussions with patients. And remember, these discussions are 9 a.m. in the morning to 9 p.m. at night for me. Everybody is talking about dating apps and guys they meet on apps. So, for example, with an app like, say, Bumble, you might get... with an app like Bumble, for example, you may get a type of guy that's... I have to think about this one for a minute. I just gave the example of one dating app that's talked a lot about therapy. You may get a guy that's looking for a serious relationship because the stats show that he is. So there's a percentage of where men were surveyed on each of the dating apps, and the percentage of guys seeking a serious relationship was higher on Bumble. Hinge lately is a really good one, in the sense that you've got a lot of guys on there that are open to a serious relationship. So, for example, Hinge was rebranded in 2016 as the relationship app. So different apps tend to draw different types of guys. On Coffee Meets Bagel, for example, surveys have showed that these guys tend to be very career-minded. They tend to be ambitious and into their careers. Now, remember, I'm making sweeping generalizations, but it is kind of cool to sort these things out. Tinder, by the way,
I love that, and that's cool. I also like the fact there are ones that are more age specific, like My Time and others.
Yes.
That work really well. I just saw that Anne Lamott, you know, the famous writer, author in the United States, just got married for the first time at the age of 65. To a really cool guy that she met on Our Time. And I just thought that was amazing. I'm sure that they must have gotten a whole lot of business from folk after they read that New York Times piece about her wedding and back and forth. But it just brings to mind that, you know, the dating thing is very different by age. The expectations, I can only imagine, clearly you're not looking at, you can't have children, you know, if you're looking at people 50 and over, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a really different perception and mindset. Do you have people in your practice who are kind of fit that kind of demographic?
Absolutely. It's all ages. And that's, I love that story, by the way, about, yes, I love the story you mentioned too, because what happens with sometimes you get women in their 50s and 60s who are, talk about like really like they're yearning to have a boyfriend, and they're feeling like, oh, I'm too old, or they feel like I can't compete with these younger women. But like, no, absolutely, They're also finding love. Heck, my mother, okay, I don't want to give her age or she's going to kill me, but 4 years after my dad died, she's in a wonderful relationship, and the gentleman is in his 80s. So, and she's up there too. So anyway, yeah, look, women want love at any age, and you absolutely deserve it. That said, okay. And great point is, again, really young women are faced with different issues in the dating world than older women. But it's all in the book. I mean, wow. Younger women, you, yeah.
Okay, so, and let's just flip for a moment to a place where maybe you just, you know, don't feel like dating and you just want to be single. So I think that a lot of people end up having to sit around trying to justify this to people who keep asking them, you know, kind of poke around and say, so why are you single? Are you just, you know, like, what's going on in your life? What is your recommendation to those people who really are quite happy being single at this point in their life? And are not looking for, you know, any kind of relationship. How did they just sort of say that to the world to get them off their back?
Another great question. So first of all, anybody who is asking you that question, it has a very snarky twinge to it because they're really saying, what's wrong with you? You're 45
exactly.
And you're not married.
That's
so
right.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
No, I just said you're absolutely correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so know that that person that's asking you that is really saying more about themselves than they are about you. They're judgmental, and they're probably not too happy in their own relationships. I found in my personal life and in my practice that I am married, by the way, in case listeners are wondering, but I wasn't always married. So I've found that people who ask that tend to be, they're in relationships, but they're not that happy. People in really great relationships are not the ones asking those questions of single people, by the way. They get it. A single woman's life can be great without a man. That's back to what I said about looking for a guy to enhance your life rather than define your life. So many single women that I know are actually much happier than some women in relationships. I'm not saying all women in relationships, but definitely than women who are in bad relationships.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, you know, I want to make sure everyone knows that we're talking to Dr. Nancy Lee, that's L-E-E, and the title of the book, which is wonderful, is Don't Sleep With Him Yet, A Badass Guide to Dating in 10 Empowering Steps. And we've really been talking about a lot of the specifics of this whole issue of dating, which is, oh my gosh, my head is just swimming. You know, like I said, I'm just so happy I grew up when I did. I don't know if I could just stand up there and make this thing work today, but you know something? With people like Dr. Nancy Lee, you can, because you're going to get some superb guidance from a clinical psychologist who totally gets it. So run on over to her website, don'tsleepwithhimyet.com, don'tsleepwithhimyet.com, to be able to learn more about her work. Dr. Lee, thank you so very much for being on the Her Podcast.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. And everyone out there, come on, you loved it, didn't you? I know you were taking notes. I saw you, well, kind of sort of in my head anyway. So run on over to iTunes right now and rate and review the show, because we want to hear from you. Why do we want to hear from you? Because I'm Dr. Pam Peek and I want to hear from you, and I'm the host of the Her Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today, and stay well.